Blog Talk Radio.
As a non-commercial radio station, KENS FM survives in large part by the generosity of listeners like you, who value public radio and have become a member. Your donation continues to allow us to support local artists and musicians and play the music you want to hear, not what advertisers think we should play. It enables us to broadcast feature story news so you can hear the news, not opinions. Public radio doesn't have an agenda. We're not in the business of pushing our point of view. Our mission is simple. Reflect your interests, not the interests of some corporation. If you believe that having an independent, non-commercial, public radio station in your community is a good idea, become a member now. Find out how by visiting our website at www.kensfm.com. And remember, independence has a cost, and it's as little as $10 a month.
Some of the parties that she's been involved in, and Laura Jacobson, she is what they would call a Hollywood reporter. And she'll be joining us in the second hour. But let's see. One of my co-hosts is here. Big Swing, are you there?
I am, yes.
All right. Well, hey, welcome back to the show, man. This is a rare occasion for you to be on our Monday show.
I'm in that sweet spot where I don't have baseball, football, basketball, anything like that to directly cover. I do got to do a couple of updates on the station here for college basketball tonight, but it's nothing that I'm directly covering, so I'm kind of in between sports right now. So, yeah, it's a lucky break, but yeah.
Well, we're glad that you're here, and our buddy Luke will be using the force to call in here in a while. Unfortunately, Scott Hand is sick this week, so he is not able to join us. And Matthias has had some family issues that he had to deal with, and he is stuck in an airport in Denver. So he is not able to join us.
How's that knee doing for him? Is his knee healed, or how's he, how's he doing?
Well, I'll tell you what, it's funny you ask that. You know, you and I have launched a Tuesday show called the Icon Power Hour Plus, where we have spend an hour and a half.
It changes the name every week.
Right, just kind of, yeah, which just kind of, which just kind of, we kind of shoot the stuff, and we use off-color language, and you can check that out tomorrow night by listening, by clicking on the same link.
PG-13 edition of the show, yes.
Exactly, and we usually start around 6 p.m. Central Standard Time to 7:30, maybe a little more. But let's kind of give a little preview of that show. Tomorrow it's going to be No Holds Barred, and we're going to have the owner of this station. He's going to be talking to us about starting the radio station and some other stuff that we're going to ask him. That's going to be fun. In 2 weeks' time, we're going to have Matthias on with us. He's going to be doing a shoot interview. We're going to let him go No Holds Barred, Unbarred, Unleashed, you name it. He's going to be telling us all about what caused the injury, what happened the day of, what happened since then, what he feels about the individual that caused that injury. So we're going to let him cut loose, and that's going to be really, really fun, and I cannot wait for that. And also, at the first week in March, we are going to have Deb Gardner return. As everybody knows, she's been on our show many times in the past, and she has had many issues with Facebook and all this. And we've had her on, and she's not really been able to go no holds barred, so to speak. So the first week in March, she is going to be doing that with us, you, me, and Luke. And we're going to be talking about a lot of that stuff, and she's going to have some special giveaways. And the rumor is she also is going to be writing a little book, and she has chosen our show to promote that, which is really, really interesting, and I kind of like that idea.
I mean, it's always good to see, you know, guests of ours that we've been talking to for a long time out there doing things, you know, and, you know, whether they're making reality shows or writing books or whatever they're doing, it's always, because I mean, we've been talking to Deb now for years, and you know, it's good to see that she's still active and doing all that. So it's interesting to be back on the Monday show, just because you know, for those of you who don't know, I do produce, you know, behind the scenes. I do set up all the soundboards and clips and stuff that you hear and put the guests on and do all that. But I'm not always vocal presence just because, like I said, I'm covering, you know, games and doing things on the side. I got one headphone in one ear. And
oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
Exactly.
I just had to do that. I'm sorry.
No, it is nice. Well, I mean, you've got the host capabilities here this evening, but I am wondering if we could set up who the guest is this evening. Who are we talking to? Because we talk to a lot of big-time people.
Well, our first guest is Baby Doll, Nicola Roberts. You might recognize her last name. She has a famous ex-brother-in-law, Jake the Snake Roberts, and she's going to be talking to us. And we're going to have actress Julie Grace. She's had a few movies, Bridge of the Doomed, Bloodthirst, Devil's Night, and a lot of others, so she can be talking about that. And Laura Jacobson,
female trio tonight. Nice.
Yeah, she's a movie producer, so it's going to be fun talking to her about that.
Oh, God.
And I do believe...
It's going to be fun listening to you talk about how much you want her to put you in a movie role.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I do believe we do have Luke joining us. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey. Doing good. Alive and well. How are you guys doing?
All right. And for those of you who care, on my left is Luke. On my right is the Big Swing, and I'm in the center of the studio here. So kind of left to right as you're listening on your radio.
Head of the table.
Yes, our first guest will be calling in about 9 minutes. So once she calls in, we'll do a commercial break, and we will then talk to her, and then do another commercial break, then the next guest, and another commercial break, and the final guest, and then our theme song, and then we book it for the night.
Pretty standard interview show then, yeah, for format purposes.
Exactly, and. You know, I know that people are basically tired at this point to know how you and I started. Everybody knows the story. I mean, you can check it out in our archives, so we don't really need to go about that. The interesting thing is where, and I know I keep harping on this, but where we started to where we are now is just amazing. And you got to admit, you never thought it would grow this far, and it's still growing.
I thought it was, you know, we had different casts back then, you know, in the beginning, but I thought it was just something fun that we wanted to do because we didn't have anything to do on Mondays. And, you know, there's always that hope whenever you put something out on the internet, you know, it goes viral, hopefully, and, you know, people start listening. And, you know, I knew that when our first interview, like our very first, like, okay, we're going to do the interview format, boom, this is the first show from Jump Street, was Buff Bagwell. I thought, you know, all right, well, you know, it's a big name to lay the groundwork. And, you know, since then, you know, obviously we've had, I can't even name them all. I've you know, I haven't forgotten them. There's so many of names that we grew up on. I mean, Diamond Dallas Page, Ken Shamrock, you know, I believe it was Animal from the LOD. You know, we had Gilbert, you know, Tito Santana.
Tito Santana.
Santino Morello. Vicky
Guerrero.
Vicky, exactly. We've had so many that have been big names. We've had so many independents that are up and coming. I can't remember her name now, but there was one girl we spoke with.
Kenzie Page. Kenzie Page.
Yes, yep. And Luke, just so
we
you
were
know,
her first interview.
Well, yeah, Luke, just so you know the history on that, we talked to her. She was like 17, 18, something like that, just really getting her feet wet in this. And then about 2 to 3 months later, I happened to just turn on AEW, just like, yeah, I'll check it out. I mean, AEW was in its infant stages still. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll turn it on, why not, you know? And there she was, boom, making her debut on air in AEW. And I was just like, wow.
That's awesome.
You know, like, this is somebody that we, you know, talk to first before anybody else. So, I will give it to Icon. I mean, I like to bust his balls a little bit as sort of the heel commentator, but he does do a great job of going out there and getting guests and booking people. I mean, we talked to Roger Maris Jr. I don't know if you guys out there are Yankee fans at all.
But you know, we've talked to numerous athletes. I mean, we did the guy who did NBA Jam voice. You know, the guy who does the voice.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, all sorts of different things. So some of the guests that he's able to get on, they're not all wrestling based. A lot of them are, but you know, some of them aren't. And the fact that he consistently has people lined up that actually call in and actually make the show possible is really good, because I mean, he can say till he's blue in the face, oh, I got so-and-so, I got so-and-so, I got so-and-so, and then when nobody calls in and we're stuck just talking about nothing because we don't have a guest, it's kind of, I mean, it's happened before, but it's not a common occurrence. So the fact that he's able to get these people to call in and they have enough faith and trust in the product and what we're putting together is pretty cool. So kudos to him, and you know, he's booked way out in advance. I mean, if you're trying to get on the show, I think
you can't get in now until 2026.
Yeah,
that's
insane.
That alone says it all right there.
it's like the Attitude Era Live dentist's office. You know, you can't get an appointment for months at a time.
Well,
let me ask you this.
Do you remember what day our anniversary is?
Oh, I should. I have so much other stuff going on right now that it's slipping my mind, but why don't you go ahead and remind us?
All right. We debuted March 28th, 2017, which was WrestleMania 33. That was the day after. We were doing Maui Madness, and your buddy was down here, and Buff, we were watching WrestleMania and Maui Madness with Scott Steiner and also Buff Bagwell, and that was the WrestleMania where Stephanie McMahon wore that leather outfit that she came down in the outfit. In the motorcycle,
they drove like the army tank and stuff. I remember that. That was a long time ago. That was before Stephanie actually looked like a middle aged woman. But so my thing here, Icon, is, you know, when you do that army bend, I went down. For those of you who don't know, I went to good old Fargo, North Dakota. You know, three different planes, and I went down there.
The second year.
And we had, you know, I met Billy Gunn, and I think Mick Foley was there. There was one other, I can't remember, but Billy Gunn's bigger in person than he looks on TV, for sure.
Remember, Mariah Pressure was our special guest that we sponsored.
Mariah Pressure, the local hero out there, but My question, I guess, I don't know what your relationship is now. Here it is, what, 6, 7, 8 years later, with Bob Footit. But are they still doing the Maui Madness thing out there, or are they still doing anything like that? Or
no, unfortunately not. Currently, it may still come back eventually. However, you know, Bob had issue. You know, he had a great business. And, you know, COVID kind of put Maui Madness on the shelf, so to say. So it really destroyed a lot of stuff, unfortunately. So COVID actually took out Maui Madness. Hopefully it'll come back in the future. And, you know, also remember that I do believe that, it was Mick Foley and Billy Gunn that was there that time.
And there was one other, too, but I can't remember who it was. But I remember
it was,
those
it was Animal.
Things.
It was Animal.
Oh, was it Animal?
Animal of Legion of Doom.
But, yeah.
That's such a unique three-pack.
I know, right? I mean, it was crazy. Icon, we do have the 828
right.
caller number on, as you can see.
We're going to take a quick little commercial break. We'll be back after these messages with our first guest, so stick with us. After these words from one of our great sponsors, stick with us. The new WoodSpring Suites of Fargo, located at 1090 35th Street North at the I-29 and 12th Avenue North interchange, is an extended stay, pet-friendly hotel with kitchenettes in every room, including a stovetop, full size fridge and microwave, plus a big 40-inch flat screen TV with free Wi-Fi. You can book a room at 701-582-1600 or online at www.woodspring.com. Woodspring Suites of Fargo, rated 4.2 by TrustScore. Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, a living legend in female wrestling. She is the reason why so many female wrestlers back in her day retired because they did not want to face her. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you at this time, she is Baby Doll.
Hey, y'all. How are you?
Hey, yeah. How's it going, Baby Doll?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. Great to have you with us. Here's how we're going to do this. Should I call you Miss Doll or Miss Roberts, or how would you like us to address you?
Baby Doll is fine.
All right. So here's how we're going to do this, Baby Doll. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a roundtable. Then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher questions. But before we do that, we'd like to have you give us a little background about yourself. So go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. I was born into the profession of professional wrestling. Both of my parents were wrestlers. My dad promoted in Lubbock, Texas, and I grew up seeing my dad promote his weekly wrestling events at the Fair Park Coliseum. I grew up watching Terry Funk, Dory Jr., Dusty Rhodes, Manny Fernandez, Ted DiBiase, the Von Erichs. It was quite a childhood, especially since I loved wrestling. I think it would have been a lot different if I didn't love the sport, but I absolutely love it. And I've worked with Gina Hernandez, Tully Blanchard, Dusty Rhodes, Ric Flair, The Warlord, Larry Zbysko, Rock and Roll Express, The Legion of Doom, Road Warriors, Jake Roberts, pretty much a who's who of wrestling I've worked with. I think I've managed as many guys as many of the WWE managers like Bobby Heenan and Mr. Fuji. I would put my numbers up against theirs.
Wow.
And there's one thing I do want to mention here real quick. You did recently have a birthday, a happy belated birthday on February 13th, where you turned 22 years old.
Well, what's really cool is I turned 62, and I was actually born in 1962, and I was born on a Tuesday, and my birthday this year was on a Tuesday.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Baby Doll is our guest here on 89.1 Kens FM. We got about 28 minutes. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do the roundtable and come back to me. You know, being born in Lubbock, Texas, and from Lubbock, Texas, I know that you know all about Buddy Holly because he's from there, one of my musical heroes.
Right.
And
okay.
If I'm not mistaken, I'll understand if you don't want to talk about this, but if I'm not mistaken, you were married to a famous wrestler, even though you were more famous than he was, and you had some wrestling relatives, in-laws that were wrestlers. Is that correct?
Right. Lubbock and being married to Sam Houston is quite a tie-in. Yes, I was born and raised in Lubbock, Texas. I actually went to the same high school as Buddy Holly, and I saw his where he'd written his name, kind of it's his name in the back of the theater on the in the backstage area. He had signed his initials back there. And then K-Dave Radio was like the big radio station where he actually had like breakout concerts where if he couldn't get somewhere to play, he would actually get on top of the radio station and have like impromptu concerts on top of the radio station. I was married to Sam in 1986, and Sam and I have two daughters, Micah and Michaela. Micah is a musician, and she lives in Fayetteville with her boyfriend, Kyle. And then my youngest daughter, Michaela, has been wrestling for, oh, my gosh, quite a while now, since she was 14, so like 17 years. And she's working with NWA now as Samantha Starr, as Miss Starr. And she's third generation. She's the only third generation female wrestler, with her mom and her grandmother being wrestlers, also her dad and her two grandfathers. So three out of four grandparents were wrestlers. Both of her parents were wrestlers. And then Jake the Snake Roberts is her uncle, and WWF Women's Champion Rockin' Robin is her aunt. So we, I always say that she's like 3G times 2.
That's awesome.
And for those of you who don't know, that is Buddy Holly playing in the background. All right. And we have Baby Dolls, our guest here. We got about 24 minutes. So like I said, I'm going to ask you some tougher questions in a little bit. But first off, why don't we go to our first co-host. His name is Luke. And Baby Doll, he does like to use the force. Go ahead, Luke. What do you got?
Hey, Baby Doll. I mean, man, between music and wrestling, it sounds like your family's got it both going on. What are the birthday parties like when you have them? I mean, shoot, they must be just a collection of interesting, awesome people.
It is, either on both sides of my family, because also Sam and I divorced in 94, and then in 2017 I remarried, and I married another wrestler. His name is Chad Bird, and we live in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains, and during our wedding we actually had gunfire in the background of the video, because we live out in the country, and it's like every afternoon somebody's shooting somewhere, so you hear gunfire. It's like Chicago or St. Louis or anything like that. It's just people out in their yard shooting, so it's kind of fun.
That's awesome. It sounds like a nice free place, like a cool, relaxing one with nature also. Nature, music,
it
wrestling,
is. It
sounds like a great
I've lived a lot of places. Right. I've lived a lot of places, and this was the one that once I landed, this was it. I told everybody, I said, I'm not moving again, and I mean it.
Man, it makes me want to go on vacation. I'm ready to pack my bag and come out.
Well, my husband is not the most friendly person, so I would say no.
Baby Doll, I was going to say, that's why I stopped calling at 2 in the morning, because, one, I don't know what the time zone is, and, two, when I found out how big your husband is, that he could squash you like a little bitty grape, I figured, well, I'll just let her call me from now on, you know?
Right. Well, and he's a biker, too. We have, like, 7 Harleys, and he's always working on those, and he's the epitome of a biker. So, yeah, he's one of the reasons why I love him. I mean, he's tougher than I am, and that's hard to find.
Baby Dolls, our guest here on 89.1 Kent FM. Now, we have our next co-host, the Big Swing. He is I know he's a big fan of your ex-husband, and he's also a fan of your ex-brother-in-law, Jake the Snake Roberts. So, Big Swing, what do you got? Go ahead. Did he leave us? Because you're on. I would be speechless too, but I have to talk.
No, I'm here. I realized my mic was muted because I kind of jerk. I'm a fan of wrestling history. But unfortunately, Jake was a little bit before my time. I was just getting to know who Jake was when Stone Cold made his, you know, Austin 316 thing in 96. So it was a long, you know, I had to go back and rewatch a lot of Jake's stuff. So, yes, I'm a fan, but I didn't get to watch him live, unfortunately. But for the wrestling aspect for you, what were some of the greatest memories and moments that you have had in your long career around the business? I mean, what were some of the stories you like to tell, you know, around a campfire or something, you know, about the business?
It was, I guess, oh my gosh, because there are so many, and it's been so long ago and things like that, but I was only really in the business for about 2 years, from like 85 to 86, and then a short amount of time between 87 and 88, so I really don't have like the long drawn out career like a lot of my friends do. And well, that was
you did pack a lot of stuff in those 2 years though.
Exactly. I worked with the very best of the best, and in my opinion, I was involved in one of the greatest feuds in pro wrestling history with Magnum and Tully. I don't think you could get a better storyline, better combatants. I mean, everything just worked in the short amount of time, in the 6 months that we worked between the Great American Bash in July of 86 to November of 86 with Starrcade. And just the buildup of the feud and just the hatred between the two guys with the I Quit match in the steel cage, that's, in my opinion, one of the best matches ever in professional history, in professional wrestling, the history of it, because it just, the buildup of it, just everything worked. And then the iconic switch when I went with Dusty and then back with Flair and then getting shipped off to Kansas City, it's like, the whole time I was working, it was like just magic, and it was a story, you know, it was just, it was almost like a fairy tale just to be working in like front of huge crowds and like doing TVs in high schools and then promos and everything. It was just, you know, if you scripted everything out, I don't think that anyone would believe like the schedule that we had. I don't know about any, oh my gosh. There's just, and then I look at, there's so many stories, but it's just, to this day, I'm humbled by how many people remember me and by, like, their stories that they come and tell me about, like, sitting on the couch with a loved one and watching wrestling and remembering me. And I get to do the Legends and the Fan Fest and things like that. And I'm getting ready to go to Ohio in, like, a little more than a week. And then I've got New Jersey coming up and Utah, and oh my gosh, I'm going out to Lubbock again. And it's just, it's really crazy. Like 40 years later, you know, I still get phone calls and get to talk to guys like you that, you know, that remember my career. And it's just, it's so cool. And I want to thank you guys. Thank you.
Well, you know, one thing I do want to, one thing I do want to mention here real quick, you know, you actually inspired a couple things. You know, Dusty Rhodes, you know, he always used to say, "Now, here, let me tell you something about that. We're gonna go out to the ring, baby, and we're gonna do this, baby, and then we're gonna go have a couple warm beverages down at the local pub there, baby." And every time he said "baby," it's because he used to hang out with you.
Well, yeah, baby doll was just, it was just, I was very fortunate because when Dusty saw me and Tully was actually looking for a girl to work with at that time, I was just so fortunate that they saw me and Dusty saw the character and what I could do and that I wasn't like the normal girl. And, you know, it's just because I'm, you know, like tall and 5'10" and athletic, and they could, just the storyline worked. You know, it just, they were looking for Sunshine at the first. They were looking for Valerie. And I think that Val would have done really well with Tully, but I'm glad I had the spot because it was iconic. I mean, Tully and I were perfect together.
And, you know, I am a big fan, and I know people say, well, Icon, you're just saying, no, it's not. I am a big fan, I'll tell you. Another thing you inspired, and then we're going to listen to a little Dusty Rhodes because I love his voice. We used to go like this, baby. You know, you actually inspired you used to accompany Jeff Jarrett to the ring as his valet, and because of you, he wrote the song "With My Baby Tonight," and the song was now about you. Now we know that.
I had no idea. I had no idea. I worked with Jeff Jarrett one time in Tampa. I believe that was like 2003, maybe 2004. Sal Corrente had put on a Legends Fan Fest, a wrestling reunion in Tampa, and I got to walk the ring with Jeff Jarrett as he faced Tully Blanchard and J.J. Dillon.
And, you know, this is a little clip of that. So that was obviously about you. Now we know the secret. So that was about you. Now, when you decided to retire.
I don't know. I think his wife might have an argument with that. But, yeah, we'll go with that.
Well, anyway, everybody, for those of you who don't know the backstory, of course, we won't get into Jeff Jarrett because this is your time. But, you know, the other cool thing is when you decided to retire, was it tough to walk away, or did you just realize that I have two beautiful daughters, I want to go raise them, and I don't want to break any bones or risk permanent damage?
Well, it was more, I wasn't so much afraid of getting hurt. It was the travel and being away from my family. The first year that I worked with Tully, I believe I only had like 15 days off the whole year. So having, you know, like two young daughters, they needed their mom. And I think moms are like really important in the family, and that I just had to be there. And it was just my time. And, you know, I could have done it, but I would have been very unhappy. And I'm so happy the way that my life is worked out now, and my daughters are successful and happy, and I'm happy, and it just, it all worked out. It really did. It was perfect.
And when you, with all the different, you know, celebrities that you work with, do you have like a...
Uh-oh.
I'm going to think that he had a favorite. The best person that I worked with was Tully. Tully and I just clicked. And then probably Dusty would be my second choice.
Oh, wow. Dusty and Flair, that feud, I mean, you being a part of that, that's like the biggest Southern feud that there is, you know, and what that,
oh,
was,
that was
totally rock and wrestling. That's also
and
awesome.
And then just being, yeah, and to be a girl in that situation, because there weren't any girls at that time, and it was groundbreaking, and not knowing that I was breaking the ground, but I just did the best I could, and thank goodness for YouTube and Vince buying the libraries and stuff. Everybody gets to see our work, and it's really classic. It really is.
Yes, you have a complete. I mean, you're lucky. Like you sound very appreciative, which is awesome. And you also have your health. I mean, you know, yeah. And two wonder. That's it's just amazing. That it is amazing. That's very cool. It's like you have with the way that everything is now. You have the footage and everything. It's like what should we call it? Like a photo album almost. What great. Great time to be in, like, you know,
right, it's cool because, see, my girls get to watch my work and see what I got to do, get to see their dad wrestle and Jake and Robin, and it was just about maybe a little over a year ago, I actually got to see my mom wrestle for the first time. I'd never seen my mom ever. I had a few pictures and things like that, but nothing that personal of her. And there's several matches out now where she's in Chicago wrestling, it's really cool. And I wish I was had been able to see it while she was still alive, so I could have sent it to her so she could have seen it. But unfortunately, she passed before those came out.
Well, you know, that's her speaking to you from the grave, you know. That's really cool.
Maybe.
You know,
oh, there he is. Cool. We lost you for a second, I think.
Well, no. What I was going to say is, you know, being a wrestler in with all the chaos that comes with it, was there like a moment that you like regret, you know?
Oh, I'm sure that there's regrets in my life, but to this day, if I changed anything, then I would be in a different spot than where I'm at now, and I wouldn't change anything. I mean, my daughters have several degrees with high school and college and careers and everything going, so if I had changed anything or had any regrets where I said, I would have done this different, then my life would be different. And I really, at this point in my life, I wouldn't change anything. Everything is really good. I'm blessed. I am truly blessed.
And, you know, Luke and Big Swing, they're a lot younger than me by about 20 years. But one thing I do remember, Baby Doll, is the fact that how professional you were every time I saw you on the TV. And, I mean, I fell in love with you the first time I ever saw you in a WCCW. And, you know, I was, you know, with the Von Erichs. And I'm just kind of curious, did you watch the movie Iron Claw?
No, I haven't seen it. I was waiting kind of for everyone to get kind of everybody's feedback first. And what I find interesting is everyone that knows the Von Erichs and worked with them do not like the movie, mainly because they left out Chris and things with the movie just aren't true. And that I think that they wanted, you know, just things like that. And with Chris, if you knew Chris, I mean, Chris didn't want to get left out. That was part of him being like the youngest Von Erich in the whole thing. He tried so hard to keep up, and he tried so hard to be part of the gang and part of everything. And he hated, I mean, literally, I know this for a fact, that he hated to be left out. And for him to be left out of the movie just because there wasn't enough time or some other things, that just, it seems so disrespectful just to leave one of the brothers out that was such a key part of all of that. And that,
well, you know,
everyone that didn't have anything to do with wrestling and just watched the movie is just going to see the movie because they know the people that like wrestling love the movie, absolutely loved it. But anyone that was, like, in the business or knew the Von Erichs just didn't like it. I'm just like, I really, at this point, I don't want to see it because I don't want to be this. I do want to see the guys that play the Freebirds. If I was going to see the movie, I'd like just to see their parts of it because I know Brady Pierce and Silas, and I really want to see them as Michael Hayes and Terry Gordy. Now, I really, really, really want, I would see the movie just to see their parts.
Well, you know, I don't know if I should admit this then. I've actually seen the movie 9 times.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Good.
Well, the reason why is because Kerry Von Erich, the Texas Tornado, he was actually the first wrestler I ever looked up to. He was actually the first wrestler I ever idolized when he was in the WWE.
Okay.
Back then, I didn't know his history. I didn't know his background. I just thought that he was the Texas Tornado. And watching the movie, I got to see more about him that I did not know. I had no idea about the history that he had with Ric Flair. And it is a tragic story, but a lot of the thing about it is it's not a wrestling movie. There's not a lot of wrestling in it. It's more about the Von Erichs and how, well, let's just say how Iron Claw, the father was, Fritz.
Okay. And I've
but
heard,
I'll tell you what, though,
from two is that Pam, that it really put a good light on Pam and Doris, how they were kind of the glue that kept everything together, especially Kevin's wife, Pam. You know, her faith in God and family just kept the chaos together as best that she could.
You know, and I probably shouldn't say this, but I do believe it was Pam that kept her husband from becoming part of the tragedy that is the Von Erich family. And that's how she's portrayed in that
probably
movie, and it's very good.
He really was. Yeah, I mean, I can attest to this because I worked with him whenever I was in high school and part of college. He was always wanting to get back home. He didn't want to stay over. He didn't want to go out drinking or partying with the other guys. Because in Lubbock's a college town, so it's party town. And the guys would like to come up to Lubbock, especially because of Texas Tech. But Kevin always was trying to get that last flight to Southwest, which had like a 9:50, or maybe, I think it was one was 9:50, another one was 10:20, going back to Love Field. And he would always try and get on those flights.
And I'm just kind of curious, because I do believe you work with him. Is Jim Carrey? Is Jim Cornette really the jerk that he is?
Jim Cornette is a very smart man, and he has the knowledge that he has in his brain is amazing, and he can remember dates and times and places and the whole thing, and would write down, you know, methodical notes about the show so that whenever he went back, the fans would never see the same thing twice. And he has a very sharp wit about him, and it's very cutting. And if you're on the wrong side of the promo, yes, it can hurt. But we also made a lot of money. And, like, today I had posted that Ole Anderson had passed away. Well, Ole was so mad.
I know, that was terrible.
Because in July of 86, Cornette and I made more money than Ole did for the Great American Bashes. And he was upset that managers were paid more than wrestlers. But then, you know, we were like either main event or semi-main event, and wherever we appeared. And I would like to think that we did help draw, but he did get mad at us because we made good money.
You know, so we can do this here. We got Baby Doll with us. We got about 5 minutes left. For our fans that want to check you out and see you, or maybe book you for a appearance like at a Comic Con or Wrestling Con, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
I have Twitter. I have Facebook. I have Instagram. I am very active on Twitter and Facebook. You can hit me up or message me, and I'll probably be a pretty good chance I'll message you back. I have really nice 8x10s available. I've sold out of my Slam Buddies. I'm getting some shirts made. So the merch is coming in. So just contact me and let me know, and I'll be, I'm booked all the way through August. So hopefully I'll see y'all down the road.
And we have, like I said, we have a few minutes with you, and I do appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to join us. And a lot of people don't know, I actually booked you on the show 8 months ago, so we were able to keep in touch that long. And I do appreciate you being with us. You're awesome, and I can't tell you how much we love you for that.
You're welcome. And yeah. I forgot to send you guys your pictures. So resend your address, and I will get that out to you tomorrow.
Perfect. I will message you that. And also, real quick here, there is one thing, and you're probably not going to believe this. Fans look like you're going, oh, Icon, you don't. But it's true. I actually still have my issue of November of 1986, the Pro Wrestling Illustrated magazine that you were in, where you listed as Dusty's personal assistant.
Okay, he is personal.
And
yeah, I loved working with Dusty. It was awkward at times because the promos were sometimes a little risque, especially when it's like 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday, and Dusty's been drinking all night, and he comes up with a thing of like all women are the same if you turn them upside down, and everybody's got this visual, and I'm having to stand there with a straight face going, I can't believe they said that.
Well, did you and Dusty Rhodes late at night ever get funky like a monkey?
No, and there were no bubble baths or no trips to the Himalayas. Dusty was a very, very happily married man to Michelle, and he loved her more than anything else in the world, Shelley. And the mother of two of his children, Cody and Teal, and they're both like super, super good people. And I think that's why it worked so well, is because there was the chemistry, but then nothing happened. And he was very faithful to Michelle. I can swear to that to this day. So, and then I saw Michelle. Oh gosh. I guess it was a couple of months ago, and she gave me a big hug, and she's starting a museum with Dusty stuff. So I love seeing her on the road.
Oh, wow.
Cool. Yep. That's awesome. Well, you know, I'll tell you, Baby Doll, it's so awesome, and I do appreciate it. We only got about 60 seconds left. You are wonderful, and I know I didn't get the story how I told everybody back in elementary school that you were my aunt. I will curb that story. But, yeah, I actually brought that magazine. I actually brought that magazine to school with me, and I said, this is my aunt, and one day she'll pick me up from school, and you guys all get to see I'm not lying. And unfortunately,
right.
you
so
got where the school
was.
Was
I related to your mom or your dad? So was I your mom's sister or your dad's sister?
You were my mom's sister.
Okay. Did she know this, or was this like?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no.
Did she have a clue? No.
My parents didn't find out that you were my sister until I got sent home because I had a poor show-and-tell showing. You as my aunt.
I didn't show up. I'm sorry. Well, we didn't have, like, the closed-circuit TV. I could have called in and FaceTimed you.
Well, you know, here's why I told them you didn't show up. You were too busy training bodybuilding with Dusty Rhodes is what I told everybody.
There you go. I got you.
Well, I'll tell you what, Davey Doll, you are wonderful, and I do love you very much, and thank you for everything you do. And if we haven't scared you away too much, we'd love to have you back on again because you are just so super cool. We appreciate you.
All right.
Yeah,
well, I've enjoyed my time with you guys. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Davey Doll.
Thank you, Davey Doll.
All right. Bye-bye.
Awesome.
All right, wow, that was Baby awesome. Doll, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, once again, the icon delivers again. Our next guest is right in the wings here real quick, but we need to take a quick little commercial break again. So if you stick with us, we will be right back after these messages. So do not go away.
So if your spring and summer projects include some concrete work, Elevated Concrete can help. They can be reached at 701-866-9018 or at Elevated Concrete on Facebook. Their concrete work includes driveways, sidewalks, walkways, approaches, garage floors, patios, and shed pads. Plus, they offer decorative or stamped concrete as well. And all estimates are free. They are ready right now for any concrete project you have. That's Elevated Concrete at 701-866-9018.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle. She is here for all the grace. Ladies and gentlemen, she is the greatest actress in the history of Hollywood today. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you our lovely guest at this time. She is Julie Grace.
Hey, this is Julie Grace. You're listening to the Attitude Era Monday Live Mondays on 89.1 Ken's FM. Your hosts are the icon with the big swing, also featuring Scott, the director hand, and the modern nightmare, Matthias.
Well, hello, Julie. Thank you for joining us. How are you?
I am doing great. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here. How are you?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, I booked you on the show 11 months ago, so I'm glad that we were finally able to get this done. We have about 30 minutes here with you, so we're going to have some fun. What we'll do here quick is I'm going to ask you a few questions, and we'll do a roundtable, and we'll come back to me and I'll ask you the tougher questions. But first, before we do that, we want you to give us a little background about yourself.
A little background about myself. I graduated with a doctorate degree from Northeast Ohio Medical University, and I work in the medical field for 8 years, and someone very close to me passed away all of a sudden with a lot of, you know, things ahead, and it's like a wake-up call for me. And my workload is very heavy, and I figure I work like a machine. I figure one day I'm like, if I really like acting and I really like modeling, but I never have the gut to pursue it. But at this point in my life, I'm like, if I don't pursue it, what if, you know, God calls me, I never know that I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I said, okay, I'll start doing something that I like. But at this point, I'm still a no-name in the entertainment industry. So I'm just doing a little bit at a time, and I'm just trying to get involved in different projects, pick up small projects here and there. as much as I can and, you know, start from there.
And you've been in quite a cool movies. You've been in Death Count, Bridge of the Doomed, Night of the Tommyknockers, Bloodthirst, Devil Knights. And there's since you got an upcoming project, I don't know if you can talk about it, but Rebel Bikers versus Vampires from Venus. I don't know. It says it's in pre-production. I don't know if you can talk about that. But you've had a couple exciting movies that you've been involved in.
Yes, I was. Actually, all of those movies, I helped funded the movie somehow, and, you know, I got some roles. It was exciting, but for my future projects, I'm start picking up projects where I don't have to fund the movie, and people start paying me. I think that's great. And it's always a pleasure, and, you know, I don't mind picking up small roles or extra. I'm just happy to be in the movie, and I'm just happy doing what I love. And it's not about just making money, but it's also, you know, doing something that makes you happy. And it's making impact on
people. Well, you know, speaking of making money, you know, you mentioned that you are producing some of your own films and some of your own projects. How many projects do you have that you're working on right now, or do you have planned for the future?
Right now, my work, I'm still taking care of sick patients, and I'm trying to work it. I write a few songs, but I haven't had a chance to professionally record it yet. So I have music producers reaching out to me, and I have a lot of photographers. Right now I have to put them on the wait list because my work schedule, I'm taking care of sick patients, and my work schedule is fully loaded. I'm trying to find extra time to do things, get my music like professionally produced. But in the meantime, I just do for fun my videos on YouTube, those entertainment time with me. You can see some of the songs I wrote. I wrote a song for Christmas. I wrote a song for New Year, but I haven't sing it yet or professionally record any. I haven't professionally recorded any of my songs, but I'm planning to. And I really hope to. So far, I have good feedback from the Christmas songs I wrote, and people really enjoyed it. And I look forward to make music of my own. And I have several songs, and I really love to get some professional record. I don't want to spill all the beans yet. Let's keep everything a secret for now.
Well, what is your time frame for releasing the songs?
I don't know, because I haven't get it done yet. So, but I want to get it. I have an appointment with a music producer sometime in April, and we'll go from there. But in the meantime, when I have time, I'm writing new songs, or I'm writing, you know, putting my own music together. And there's some of the songs from the artists that I like that in different language, I kind of translate them in English and then put my own touch of music in it and to put on my Entertainment Time With Me show. It's just an informal show, and I do it for fun and to entertain, in a way to entertain my audience, and in a way to promote the movies that I'm in. So it's a...
I'll put this out for you, Julie. Julie Grace, our guest, we got about 23 minutes here with Julie. Here, I'm going to put this out for you. When you're ready to release your album and you start making these songs and you want to get them out to the masses, we would like you to call on our show, and we would like to help you promote your album, your songs, everything for you.
All right, that's awesome. That's really great. And it's just my time crunch right now, because when I take care of my sick patients, my work schedule is swamped right now. It's like there's so many things. So I'm trying to find time on my day off to everything I'm doing in the entertainment world is on the time that I have off. And I'm still taking care of sick patients full time. So I'm trying to balance my life to not like burning out, because my workload is a lot also.
As long as you don't put out that one song that you're thinking of doing called I'll Never Do a Podcast with Icon Again, Don't put that one out.
Oh, no, no, that will never happen. I'm so grateful that
Julie Grace is our guest here on 89.1 Kids FM. I'm going to introduce you to my co-host at this time. His name is Luke, and he's a great guy, and I know he's a fan. So, Luke, what do you got for our guest? Go ahead.
Oh, well, Julie, it's amazing. I mean, much appreciation for your work in the health industry. I have a mother and a sister, both nurses. You know, I was wondering, what department of the hospital, and also do you have a morning routine, or like do you fuel on caffeine, or what keeps you going? Because I know it's a tiring business. You don't do caffeine?
No, I don't. I don't drink coffee, unfortunately. I used
nice.
To be, well, when I was in professional school, I used to do sweet, but because I'm an Asian descent, and a lot of Asian population grew up on staples such as rice, and that's why the majority of Asian people have diabetes, where the majority of Americans have heart disease, and heart disease
yeah.
is the number one killer in America, other than car accidents. And you notice that the difference is that the diet and the lifestyle make the difference. And diabetes
yeah.
is also the second killer, second cause of death. And then after heart disease, and then cancer is the third cause of death. And you wonder why, and I think diet has contributed to partly because of that. And because the Asian people, they eat so much rice, and rice is carbohydrate dense, or it has a very high glycemic index, whereas American people, they eat a lot of meat and a lot of cheese and a lot of sugary food.
Yeah, a lot of refined sugar.
Right, right. And all of those causes are preventable. And plus we have like the availability of fast food everywhere, and usually the fast food costs a lot cheaper than food that are healthy. Let's put it that
yes.
way. Fresh
absolutely.
Food and organic vegetables, they're a lot, you know, much more expensive than the, and then with the cost of everything rising, realistically, a lot of families, both parents have to work. And if you have kids, it's very hard. Like they have to juggle. It's very hard to find time to cook a healthy meal for the kids. Oh, so I've seen a lot of parents like choose to eat out or take their kids and eat out fast food. And as you see, we started out where 10 years ago, the obesity rate is only 1 out of 3. Now it's almost like 1 out of 2. It's like 42% of the people
yeah.
in America are obese, and it's at an alarming rate. I mean, when you think obesity itself is not something bad or not something to be made fun of, but it's an underlying risk factor for developing many other chronic diseases. It makes other diseases worse, such as like your heart. For example, if you use a straw and you drink water, you put water alone, you drink it, it's easy. You put the water in the cup, you shake it, it moves faster. But if you put a lot of sugar or a lot of fatty stuff, the liquid becomes very thick, right? And it's very hard
yeah.
to move along. And then so if you look at your blood vessels, each of your blood vessels in your body, not all of them are big. Some of them are like much smaller than the straw that you drink from the sip of your cup. It's much smaller than those vessels. And imagine your blood when it becomes so thick, so viscous, and it's very hard to move around your body. It makes your heart work a lot harder to pump all those, you know, blood to deliver all the nutrients and the oxygen into each of your cells and your organs. So it develops so many different problems, from high blood pressure, from heart disease, it makes people, when you have high blood sugar, people have poor wound healing. When you have poor wound healing, it's because a lot of blood cannot deliver to the cells that need to be in the cells die. And it caused kidney damage. It caused eye problems. I've seen like patients, some of my patients are like in the 30s, already have kidney failure, and one patient like 500 pounds or 600 pounds, a few 700 pounds, some of them can't walk. They're like immobile and sit in the bed. And one time I talked to one of the patients, and she said she does everything right except she drinks 24 cans of soda a day. So, yeah, and she cannot walk, and she already has kidney failure. So I said, she said, but it's diet soda, it's zero sugar. I said, honey, but those are not fuel for your body. Even though it's diet soda, it's not the right fuel for your body. If you think about it, the car would not run in the long term if you don't put the right fuel into it, right? So your body is the same way. It's kind of like a machine. If you don't put the right fuel in your body, it won't run in the long term. So I have to think of a long-term fuel. I cannot rely on sugar in the long term. So in a way, I have to cut my sugar down, and I drink a lot of water. I have adequate sleep. Yeah, when you ask me about what keeps me going is I have to strategically plan my day. So God gives me and everybody else 24 hours a day. So I plan, and science says you need at least 8 hours of sleep a day. But for me personally, I need at least 9 or 10 hours of sleep a day to function, because most people work only 8 hours a day. I work people work from 9 to 5. I work from 9 to 7:30, like 10 hours with half an hour's lunch break. So that's like 10 hours and a half, and plus, you know, time of driving and get stuck in traffic and all that. So I have to plan strategically and have my adequate sleep. Most people, like more than 40% of American people, have insomnia problems, and they don't have enough sleep. And when you don't have enough sleep, your body, a lot of your body organs don't work. So I've seen people who don't have enough sleep, they suffer from headaches, like none of you, because your body don't work, function properly. People have from brain fog to tired. They have increased risk of, they have nausea, they have poor digestion, acid problems. So, and a lot of time people don't correct the problem by the root cause. They take, medications, like quick fix to get things done. And then,
5 hour energies.
And then, I mean, people like to take care of other people or projects or things, but nobody takes a good care of their health. And for me personally, I believe that having a good health is the first state of happiness. You can have everything in life. You can make all the money in the world, but if you don't have good health, you will not enjoy life. And I've seen so many people make so much money, have everything in life, but don't enjoy life because their quality of life goes down because they don't know how to take good care of themselves, right?
Yeah.
And so the first thing I do is I plan my day. I have to take at least 8 hours sleep, because if I don't take a good care of myself, I cannot take a good care of my patients. I will make errors, and I don't want that to happen. So I have to very discipline myself, and my schedule is not a steady schedule. I have very variable schedule, so it depends on the need, where my boss put me, and because I'm working in a team with other people, so we have to rotate our shift. And a lot of time I work in the evening shift, like from 4 p.m. to almost 3 in the morning. So number one, I get adequate sleep. That's a priority. It's to take self-care, a good care of myself. And the second thing is, like I mentioned earlier, diet. I have to watch what I eat, because diabetes is a big, I have a high risk of developing diabetes because it runs in my family. Because as you can see, I grew up from Asian parents, Asian family, so we eat a lot of rice. So I have to cut down my rice intake, and I had to increase my meal portion. I mean, I'm not a dietitian, but in general rule of thumb is 50% of your meals should be vegetables. Like, say if you have a plate of food, 50% vegetables, fruits, some nuts, in beans or lentils, and then 25%, I have to cut down my carbs, complex carbs, which is like rice, corn, quinoa, pasta, noodles, bread, you name it, like starchy stuff, corn, tortilla, pizza. So I have to cut that down to 25%. And my protein intake is between 10 to 25%. So, and protein, the majority of American people eat meat, and their meat portion is big, really, really big. Yeah. I say, if I eat that much meat, my body will not digest well. I have to probably take Tums or other stuff. And so, and you have to think of outside the box. Protein, not only meat, you can try seafood, you can try tofu, you can try
soy
nuts.
Yeah,
you can try like other healthy alternative options, fish, shrimp, nuts.
It is unfortunate you did say
nuts or beans.
Yeah, like a bag of almonds, you can get 10 McDoubles
yeah.
for that, you know?
Like, right, but people choose meat a lot of meat, and people yeah. eat a lot of
meat. And cheese.
Meat and cheese. So those, when you put not the right food for your body, you can see your body react to it. You either don't digest well or you don't feel well. Your body knows. Like when people drink a lot of coffee and they put a lot of, the problem is they don't just drink coffee. They put creamers, they put sugars, or they put artificial sweeteners, and all other stuff. And,
Julie
Grace is our
guest
here. Julie Grace is our guest here. We got about 8 minutes here with Julie. So I didn't want to miss doing this real quick. If our fans want to check you out and see you, do you got a Facebook, an Instagram, a YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok? What do you got?
I do have Facebook. I do have Instagram. I post my Instagram address on my Facebook and also on my TikTok. I have TikTok, but I don't know how to add it on my but if you go to TikTok, you can search for me.
Awesome. Well, unfortunately, we only have about 8 minutes left. I wish we had some more time, but like I say, we're, on a time crunch. I do want to go back and talk to you about some of the movies that you've been in. Like Devil's Night, Bloodthirst, of course, I'm guessing these are mostly all horror films, but like it says, Devil's Night comes out in 2024. Bloodthirst was in 2023, Night of the Tommyknockers 2022, Bridge of the Doom 2022, Death Count 2022. You were busy in 2022, then it looks like in 2023 and 2024 you kind of decided to slow down a little bit?
Yes, like 2020, 2022, 2023, that's in 2021, I don't remember, but someone close to me passed away, and then I was involved in those projects. That's the friend that helped me get into those projects, and that friend passed away, and then it took me a while to grieve and kind of like reflecting on what I'm trying to prioritize in my life. So now I'm trying to spend more time and involved in more movies, picking up more movies and entertainment projects or photo shoots. But before that, I haven't done much photo shoots or movie.
That's awesome.
But the Devil's Night is still in post-production. I don't think it will come out until this summer. And also, Curse Water is also in post-production. We just shot Curse Water this past summer. But
Julie Grace,
I think, yes.
Go ahead, sorry.
Devil's Night is already out. Night of the Tommyknocker is already out. What do you call it? Bridge of the Doom is already out. I forgot. I have been in a couple of movies. But
One of my favorites that you were in is death count from 2022.
Oh.
That was my one of my favorites when you were the reporter.
Oh, thank you so much.
And for those of you who have for those of you who have never seen what Julie Grace looks like, go on IMDb, go on Facebook, check her out. If I could say this, Julie, don't take this wrong way, but you definitely could give Tia Carrere a run for her money.
Who? I'm sorry.
You could give Tia Carrere a run for her money.
I don't. I'm sorry, but I don't know who that actress or actor is.
Well, she was in Wayne's World, and she was in True Lies.
The classics.
Hey, we need to
entertainment world.
I will definitely do that. We need to take a quick little time out. Hold on 1 second.
All right.
You're listening to 89.1 KENZ FM, KNNZ-FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kenzfm.com.
We always have to do a little legal idea. We got about 5 minutes here left. I don't know, Big Swing, if you got a quick question, we got about 4 minutes, so go ahead.
Well, I was sort of listening in. I was doing some other things around the studio as well. But, I noticed a lot of the titles of the movie, some of which I have heard of. And just wondering if those type of movies are ones that you gravitate to, like you want to be in that genre of movie, or is that really just the scripts that have come your way that you've accepted? Or, like, I mean, is there a specific genre you like performing in, or...
Ideally, I like to be in rom-com, rom-com,
okay.
Or a little bit action. I like Indiana Jones type of like adventures and a little bit humorous here and there would be nice. But because I'm still a nobody in the entertainment world, so I was willing to pick up whatever. I was just happy to be in the movie at that time.
Well, you're somebody to us.
So it just happened to be a horror. I guess horror movie sells, and a lot of people like to watch horror movies. So it happened to be in it. And it was and my upcoming movies are, again, horror movies. I guess it's and I'm still a no-name, so I'm very affordable for people with low budget. So I have a lot of people reach out to me for the movies. And I'm just happy to be in it. I don't mind to play any role that they have in mind for me.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what,
somebody
Julie,
in a rom-com.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Julie, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how I got my start, too, in a couple movies that are coming up we're going to be filming. I said I would work for hot dogs and a place to sleep on set. So I'm with you on that, Julie.
Yeah, if you think there's a role that you have in mind for me, please keep me in, keep me posted. I'll be happy to travel to, you know, be in your movies. Or if you or your friends have any movies that looking for an Asian-looking girl, I'm in.
Absolutely. I know we can hook you up with Scott. Scott Hand, he's got some great projects on the horizon. Icon's going to be in one, too.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, please keep me posted. And then here's the thing with me. When people book me, they have to let me know at least 2 months in advance because my boss make a schedule out, like my work schedule, like a month out in advance. And once the schedule is out, it's very hard for me to switch with other staff because they, you know, people have their own life and it's busy. They have kids and they have other things. So it would be great if you know, like, let me know the shooting dates. My shooting dates 2 months in advance, so I can request off from my work to work on the movies or projects that you have in mind for me. And as long as you let me know how many days of work, like what day of shoot, and it works out a lot better for me. I have to tell everybody that. I mean, at this point, I cannot. I cannot quit my job yet at the hospital to because the cost of living in California is very extremely high. It's ridiculously high. And with acting alone, I don't think I'll be able to pay for all the expenses here. So I still keep my job of taking care of sick patients.
Well, you know, it is funny you mention that because, yeah, I'm going to mention that real quick. You know, it's funny you mention that because we did Brookie 8 months ago, and we finally got this done. I'm going to talk to Scott Hand. Maybe he can do a movie that we could write called we'll call it House Call, and we can have a love scene. We can have a love scene between you and I. And I know. And the scene could be just before you give me a big kiss, some guy comes and chokes me out with medical tape, something like that.
All right, that works. If he can write me in, I'll play that part for you. Then we'll go for that.
And real quick here, for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era Monday Live Monday, like that. Go to 89.1 Kent FM page, like that. Do a $10 a month donation to Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win a autographed picture from past guests, current guests, or future guests. And, Julie, I do believe if you have not sent us some, you will be sending us some, I think.
Send some what? I'm sorry?
Autographed pictures.
Oh, I can do digital autographs. Just go to my Facebook or Instagram, pick a photo of me that you like, and then I'll sign my digital autograph, and then I'll send it back to you.
We will definitely do that. I'll tell you what, Julie, thank you so much for joining us. You are awesome. 8 months in the making, we finally got it done. We thank you for all you do, and we will definitely have you on again. And I will definitely get Scott Hand to get in contact with you about having a role in one of his future projects.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, and I hope everybody have a great evening. Take care,
thank you, Julie.
Hey, thank you.
All right, we love you. Take care.
Yeah.
All right, there for the grace, ladies and gentlemen, Julie Grace. Looks like our next guest is waiting in the wings here. We are going to take another quick little timeout. We'll be back after these messages, so stick with us. We will be right back.
As you know, 89.1 Kens FM is funded through donations by our listeners and sponsorships from area businesses. If your business would like to sponsor Kens FM and reach thousands of young adults and college students every day, contact us at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. Any one of us can help you get your sponsorship started. We have many packages available to fit your budget. So contact us today at 218-585-3067 or at info@kensfm.com. And thanks for listening to 89.1 Kens FM.
Ladies and gentlemen, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, she is writing her way into everybody's hearts in Hollywood these days. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you my guest at this time. She is Lori Jacobson.
Hello there.
Hello.
How are you, Lori? Good to have you with us.
Do I give my big intro here?
Go ahead.
This is Laurie Jacobson, and you're listening to the Attitude Era Monday, live Mondays on 89.1 Kens FM. Your hosts are the icon with the big swing, also featuring Scott, the director Hand, and the modern nightmare Matthias.
Well, hey, how are you, Lori? Thanks for joining us. You know, we booked you 6 months ago. We finally got this done. We appreciate you joining us. So here's how we're going to do this. I'm going to ask you a few questions, and then we'll do a round table, and then we'll come back to me, and I'll ask you the tougher question. But before we do that, we want you to do a little background about yourself.
That is very broad. Background about myself. I have always loved Hollywood. Growing up, watched all the old black and white movies I could find. Moved to L.A. in the 70s, just in time for the just in time to meet the last of the legends from the golden era of Hollywood, and found out the truth behind the studio PR machine, and the truth, you can't make it up any better than what really happened. So I ended up interviewing tons of people all from all walks of life, the Pops characters at the studio gate who knew everything, waitresses, maitre d's, you know, people who held their job because they knew where to seat people, who was talking to whom, who was divorcing whom. It was a small town, and, you know, my interest turned into a book. I was in a comedy improv class all of that time for 7 years with, like, John Ritter and Robin Williams and John LaRoquette, and comedy was a huge deal. Wow. You know, I worked at the Comedy Store, Richard Pryor, just I had a blast. And I've written 6 books, a bunch of documentaries, including the 20th anniversary of the Mary Tyler Moore Show, which was a career highlight for me. And I left Hollywood in 98 to marry Timmy from Lassie, if you have anyone old enough listening to your show to remember that show. And I have lived happily ever after in Northern California, where I continue to write books and make personal appearances and all that kind of stuff.
So let me ask you this. What would
Are you
there? What would you have, what would you have to do to have you hook us up with Timmy from Lassie?
Hey, well, that'd be easy.
Because, you know, I'll tell you what. I watched that show on reruns when I was a kid. And, you know, my parents always wondered why I kept on standing on the porch. I always did this. This is what I used to do. Take a listen. I always used to yell for Lassie, come home, and she would never come home.
Oh, I'm sorry. So sad. Well, he's great. You know, I wrote his autobiography with him, Timmy's in the Well. What else are we going to call it? And at the moment, and early next month, we are just about to launch a new pet product. It's a CBD spray for pets, for dogs. For dogs who suffer with any kind of anxiety or arthritis or joint pain. You know, some dogs fear riding in the car or fireworks or going to the vet or being separated from their owners for any length of time. And we've got the only CBD in a spray. You just, each spray is a measured dose. It couldn't be easier. It's called Spray Mix and Go. And so we're really excited about that. We have looked for years for a pet product that John, by the way, that's his name, John Provost, could put his name on. And we couldn't find one that somebody else made that we loved enough, so we made our own.
Well, I'll tell you
so
what, if you could set us up with if you could set us up with Timmy, I'm already forever in your debt. I know that I'm glad that you still answer my phone calls, but I would be forever in your debt if you could set us up with Timmy from Lassie.
Hey, we can make that happen.
Do this. Say, I'll tell you what, if you don't go on Icon Show, you're going to be doing dishes for the next month, and I don't care if Lassie does come home.
Oh.
We have Lori Jacobson as a guest here. We've got about 30 minutes here with Lori. I'm going to ask one more question, then we'll do a roundtable, then we'll come back to me. One of the projects that I do want to talk to you about was actually share the same title with one of my all-time favorite singers' songs called Not Fade Away. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Not fade away. I'm trying to what are we talking about?
You did a didn't you do a project in 2008 where you were Liza called Not Fade Away?
Oh my God, this sounds so familiar. And tell me, Not Fade Away, was that a? You'll have to help me. I'm running to my own IMDb page because I'm not sure what you mean.
Well, I'll tell you what, our producer better have got the right Laurie Jacobson. I do believe he did, but directed by Susan Boyle and Wayne Boyer, starring Liz Jarin, Shirley Knight.
Yes, yes, okay. Oh, my gosh. Yes, well, yes, I was merely lucky enough to be an actress in that movie, but I, you know, I wasn't a creative, you know, I didn't write it or produce it, but I did have a part in it that was written specifically for me, and that was a huge compliment. And we shot it up here in Northern California, and my gosh, it's been a while since I have thought about that. And I believe Shirley Knight passed away not terribly long after that, and she was such an incredible legend. So that was a tremendous honor for me to even be a part of that.
That's awesome. We have Laurie Jacobson, our guest here. What I'm going to do here, Laurie, I'm going to introduce you to my co-host, and then we're going to come back to me. I'm going to ask you the hard-hitting question. But first off, let's go with Big Swing first. Big Swing, I know that you always wanted Lassie to come to your place, too. So what do you have for our guest? Go ahead.
Well, yes, it was quite sad when Lassie did not return, or at least wasn't for a while. But, yeah, I do remember growing up, seeing the show and everything. But I more so, I mean, it's a little bit before my time. I more so am wondering, throughout your career, what has been probably the most memorable experience for you, whether it's, you know, movie role or meeting, you know, different celebrities or, you know, a particular instance when you were shooting, a film or whatnot that really kind of stands out to you? That, like if this were a campfire story, like what would you want to tell people about?
You can't say the show because that'd be too easy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, don't worry about that. Okay. gosh, that's really tough. I worked for about a decade with a man named Jack Haley Jr. He was the son of the Tin Man from Wizard of Oz. And he was one of the leading documentary filmmakers in L.A. at the time. And I had incredible experiences with him. He was always being asked to do tribute videos for people being honored by different charity organizations, and so I would always get to go to those, and I just met everyone there that I ever dreamed of meeting that was still alive. Paul Newman and Joanne Woodward, we worked with them, a lot of people only think of Paul Newman as salad dressing, but he was so much more than that. And besides being an Oscar-winning actor and one of the handsomest men to ever live, he just gave billions to charity by starting with his salad dressing, and it has gone on and on to many other food products. And he was one of the nicest people and a race car driver and so cool. So I worked with him on this project of his through Jack Haley's office, and it culminated in this big banquet And the banquet was going to be the last time I was going to see him. And so I just gave him a big hug and said, I'm on Paul withdrawal now. And he was very sweet and hugged me and went off up to his hotel room. And about 5 days later, he stopped by the office to say goodbye to everyone. And I heard the door open and the bell ring, and I looked up, and Paul Newman was standing across the room, and he looked at me and said, hello, baby, I'm here to give you your last fix. And then I hardly remember anything after that except him walking toward me and giving me a big kiss. And that was pretty exciting. So that was my favorite Hollywood kiss, I have to say. And, you know, working on the documentaries and the books I've written has all been, you know, discovering the truth about certain Hollywood deaths and scandals was also fulfilling. And one of my books, which I just recently re-released in a much longer version, is called Hollywood Haunted, because when I wrote about people who died under mysterious circumstances or their deaths were never solved, there were always ghost stories attached to those stories. And so I actually went ghost hunting, and I had some really incredible, scary, inspiring, fascinating things happen to me when I did that as well. So I just, it's so hard to pick just one thing. Also,
Give in the paranormal and stuff like that before you went? Or, like, was it eye-opening for you there? Or did you sort of have an idea about it, and that just kind of confirmed your suspicions?
Well, you mentioned the campfire. You know, we always told ghost stories around the campfire when I was a kid, and I always believed in ghosts. But I had never had a ghostly experience, and now I can say I've had plenty of them, and some that have scared the living hell out of me, and some that have been so comforting, and some just spooky.
Oh, wow.
But
that's awesome.
I got to get into amazing places in Hollywood in my search for ghosts. So that was another, candle on the cake for me to get, you know, backstage at Grauman's Chinese Theater or, you know.
Lori Jacobson's our guest here on 89.1 Ken's FM. We got about 23 minutes. You mentioned that you got to work with Jack Haley Jr. Productions. Unfortunately, we lost Jack Haley about 23 years ago. It'll be April 21st, 2001, when we lost Mr. Haley.
Wow.
And we'll talk a little bit more about it in a second, but I'm sure that my friend Luke here, our other co-host, he's got a few questions, and I know that he would like to go ghost hunting with you. Go ahead. What do you got, Luke? Go ahead.
Yeah. Where do you like to go when you like to when you like to go and see reminded of old Hollywood? Like, is there a certain spot or anywhere that in particular that has still got that old Hollywood flavor?
Sure. You know, the Comedy Store was one of the hottest clubs on the Strip in Hollywood in the 40s and 50s. It was called Ciro's. And everybody went there, everybody. And if you didn't like what was happening there, across the street was the Trocadero, and down a little further was the Macambo. And it was all within walking distance. But those two places are parking lots now. Only the Comedy Store remains. It is haunted to the rafters.
I was about to ask you that as well. That's one of the isn't it a ghost isn't it a single a ghost that everybody knows from back in the day or something that like multiple comedians have seen, right?
There, you know, there it's actually filled with ghosts from all ages, all eras. We've seen gangster type guys in pinstripe suits with wide lapels. There is something. There is something really terrifying in the basement, and very few people want to go down to the basement anymore. We think that somebody was taken down to the basement and, well, one of the psychics we had investigate the building got terrible pains in his legs when he was on the steps to the basement and collapsed. So we think someone was dragged down there, had their legs broken, and apparently worse. But there are also happy ghosts there. We think that a lot of people come back to revisit the place because they had such a wonderful time there. And we see people in older clothing, sipping drinks from glasses that the restaurant didn't carry. And do you remember a comic named Sam Kinison?
Oh, yes, very much. Very much so.
All right. Okay, so I was hoping you'd say that. Sam, the ghosts hated Sam's act. He's the only comic I know that was heckled from beyond. They hated the screaming. You know, he was always, he screamed at the top of his head. They hated that. And whenever he went on, something would go wrong. The lights would go out. The sound system would fail. You know, 10 comics would be on before him, 10 comics after him, no trouble anywhere. But when he was on, all hell broke loose. So one night he's in the club after the club closed. You know, we would hang out there, and he was saying, okay, you want me? Come and get me. He's speaking to the unseen ghosts at the club. And with that, an ashtray just lifted off a table and flew across the room, just missing his head and smashing against the wall. You know, so be careful what you wish for. And, you know, actually, do you know the story of when Sam was killed?
In the car accident, I do believe, yes.
Yeah, I mean, the ironic thing, you know, because Sam, you know, was a big substance abuser, and the irony is he got sober, he got married, he was as happy as could be, and he was killed by a drunk driver who hit his car. But when... and his brother and friends were following him in another car, and obviously they saw the accident, and they saw Sam running around his car, and they ran to him, and as soon as they got to him, he collapsed, and his brother told me he was talking to, someone from beyond, saying he wasn't ready to go, he didn't want to go, and then there would be a long pause while he got an answer. And he argued with this angel or whatever, and then he said, okay, and then he shut his eyes and he passed on.
Wow.
So I found that also bittersweet. We were very sad to lose him, but he challenged those spirits, and he was something else.
So if someone were to ask you about paranormal activity, does anybody ever come to you and say, "Hey, who are you going to call?"
I never heard that. Yeah, I heard that. But yeah, when people ask me where to go, I would say the Roosevelt Hotel is really haunted. I always forget the name, the palace. It's now called something else. It starts with an A. I forgot what it's called, but the palace on Vine Street, haunted to the rafters. But you know, really, it's been, I don't know. I love it. I love going to those places and getting the vibe.
Yeah.
So have you ever had the? It's called the Avalon in Hollywood now.
Avalon, thank you.
Yeah, it used to be the Palace on Vine Street. It's now the Avalon. We have Lori Jacobson, our guest here, and we got, we still got a lot of time here. I'm glad that we do, because this is interesting. We got about a good 15 minutes here left. But I'm just kind of curious. You talk about paranormal activity. Have you ever had the situation where you're walking in your library in your house and all of a sudden you see books start floating, or, you look up and you see someone floating above your bed, kind of like in Ghostbusters or stuff like that? Has that ever happened?
Not in my house, I have to say, thank God. it's very scary when that stuff happens, but in places that I have gone ghost hunting, yeah, that's happened. You know, there was one place in Beechwood Canyon where, books were flying off the shelves. I mean, boom, 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 people are ducking and, phone books are flying at them. And somebody said, I'm hungry, and bananas flew out of the kitchen and landed at their feet. You know, a fire started in a wastebasket. A priest came in to bless the place, and his hat disappeared immediately off his head and was found later on the roof of the building. It was the most haunted place. This particular parapsychologist that I worked with had ever investigated, and he spent the night there. Now, I'm no fool. I'm not going to spend the night in a place like that. But he has no fear when it comes to that. And he saw the doorknob turning in the room that he chose to sleep in, and the door opened and shut, and he didn't see anyone. And a woman, a female, at least she was perfumed like a female, got in bed with him and spooned him.
Wow.
I know.
What's his address?
Thank you.
Hey, what is the address of this place?
And I have also spoken to a lot of people who, you must remember Ricky Nelson.
Yes, I do. I one of my all-time favorite singers, definitely.
His father, Ozzy Nelson, where Ricky got his start on the Ozzy and Harriet show, his parents' television show. When Ozzy died in his 60s of cancer, and he was furious about it, never smoked, never drank, how did I get this? And he was not at peace. He was seen in the studio where they used to shoot the Ozzy and Harriet show, and he was all over the house that they used to live in. And after a few years after he passed, his wife decided to sell the house, and she sold it to a couple that was friends of theirs. And shortly after they purchased the house and moved in, the wife in the couple was awakened many times, whether she was napping or asleep for the evening. Someone was pulling back the covers, nuzzling at her neck, and let me just say, Ozzy had some fast hands.
Well, You know, I'll tell you what, I definitely got to get the address of this place and book a night in the no-tell motel. We have Lori Jacobson's guest. So when you see like a movie Ghostbusters, for you that would be called Tuesday Night?
Well, I never saw anything like what happened in Ghostbusters, okay? I never saw, like, you know, ectoplasmic manifestations floating around with weird faces on them or, you know, gargoyles flying off buildings. No, but, you know, weird smells, noises. I have been touched by unseen hands on my shoulders. Thing inanimate objects moving in front of me.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what. There is one scene from the movie Ghostbusters that, as a kid, that I always wanted to see happen. This is the one where Dan Aykroyd, his character, is laying in bed, and all of a sudden there's this beautiful female floating above his bed. Then the next thing you know, his belt's coming undone, his pants are getting undone. That is the kind of experience I want to have one time.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure, because you don't have to commit.
Right, right. Oh, this is
your doctor.
I want to talk to you about a few of your other projects, and I do believe that you know a good friend of the show. He's been on a couple times, A.J. Benza.
You know, I don't know him. I certainly know of him.
Because I know you made a couple appearances on Mysteries and Scandals.
Yes, I was on Mysteries and Scandals a bunch of times. You know, probably 50 times. But, you know, he just shot the opening and closing of the show, and he was never there. You know, it was a producer who would interview me. So I never actually got to meet him. But hopefully if he watched his own show, he saw me and knows who I am. But I sure know who he is.
And for those of you who listen to our show on a regular basis, if you go to our Facebook page, Attitude Era Monday, Live Monday, you like that, go to 89.1 Kent's FM page, like that, do a $10 a month donation to the Power of the Tower. We'll get you automatically qualified to win an autographed picture from past guests, current guests, and future guests. Now, I do believe, Lori, that you are sending us a few, or you have sent us a few autographs.
You know, I don't sign pictures of myself, but I'll be happy to send one or two of my books over your way and sign them, and you can give them away.
Wow. That would be perfect. That's exactly what I was hoping for. You read my mind. And so let me ask you this. We're not going to keep hyping on it because you'll probably not ever want to take my calls again like my relatives, but, you know...
The new Wood Springs.
With that being said, you know, when you, I want to ask you a little bit about when you met your husband. Did you know he was Timmy when you first met him or not?
Yes, I was at an autograph show. That's what they used to be called before they became Comic-Cons. They were called autograph shows. It was 1996. It was at the Beverly Garland Hotel in the Valley, in the San Fernando Valley of Los Angeles. And he was sitting next to a good friend of mine named Stan Livingston, who played Chip on My Three Sons.
Who has also been on our show.
Oh, has he? One of the nicest people I know in the world. Great guy. So smart, too. So I went over. It was a slow moment at the show, and I went over to say hello to Stan, and I found out later that my future husband was kicking him under the table until Stan finally introduced us. And the rest, as they say, is history. So, yes, I knew he was sitting there signing pictures of Timmy. So I figured he was Timmy.
And we also want to congratulate you on March 28th this year you'll be married to Timmy for 25 years.
Wow, you guys are very impressive with the research. Yes, we will. I'm so excited about it.
And so let me ask you this. I would do anything to have you set me up with Timmy, but would I just have to send him a letter, or would you just tell him how cool of a guy I am and tell him that, hey, if you go on his show, he'll stop calling us at 2 in the morning?
I'll pick B. I'll tell him what a cool guy you are. And we'll make that happen for you. That's easy.
All right. He'll probably not like me for saying this, but he's got a birthday coming up in 2 weeks on March 12th, and he will be, I do believe, 74 years old.
Yes, he will. It's shocking but true.
Well, you know what they say, a good woman such as yourself is what keeps a man young.
Well, he does a really good job of staying young. He's a ton of fun.
And I know I'll get hate tweets for this, but, you know, I always said that if I ever found out from a doctor I had 2 weeks to live, I would move in with my ex-girlfriend because it would seem like a lot longer.
Yeah. I was waiting for that.
So real quick here, we still got about 10 minutes here with you, and we do appreciate you. Actually, 5 minutes. If our fans want to check you out and see if you got a Facebook, an Instagram, YouTube, a Twitter, a Twitch, a TikTok, what do you got?
I got Facebook. I got Instagram. I haven't been on X since they became X. That's what I got, Instagram, Facebook, my website, lauriejacobson.com, where anybody can write me for personally autographed books and any questions about Hollywood mysteries and scandals and ghosts, and I love it when people write me, so please feel free.
And do you still also have affiliation with Living Legends LTD?
I do, yes. Yes. I book celebrities at certain events. I did it, you know, COVID kind of certainly killed that, but I loved it because it gave me a lot more time to write again. And I do so on a... smaller scale than I used to do that. But I still do, and it's fun.
And one of the cool books that I do believe where I first got familiar with your work was a book that you did, I believe it was called TV Dinners.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first book of yours I ever saw and read.
Oh, you're kidding. Well, that one was so easy because I looked around and I thought, what do I have a lot of in my life? And the answer was former child stars. because of my sweet husband, I have, you know, pretty much met all of his peers. And his particular generation of shows that started in the late 50s and early 60s.
When TV meant something.
Say again?
When TV meant something.
Ah, thank you. There were things to be learned from it, for sure. And, television wasn't that old, and TV dinners were invented for that generation because all of a sudden people wanted to watch the shows that were on at dinner time. And so TV dinners became the norm, and little TV trays and TV tables and a whole line of items went to production when television became so popular. So I thought I'll do a book on the generation of child stars that brought that about. And not only do I discuss their careers, but they gave me their favorite meals or recipes from when they were a kid and from today.
Well, you know, I'm not ashamed to admit this. My favorite TV dinners, of course, are Banquet and Hungry Man, you know. And whenever I came home from school, I always had, like, one of those little Swanson Kids TV dinners because I liked the little prizes that came on with the little brownie, you know. That's a little background in me.
You thought the brownie was a prize?
No. They had, like, little games and tattoos and stuff. But I loved it because of the brownie. I always used to eat that first. Yeah, they were called Kids Cuisine.
I had no idea they had little prizes.
Yeah,
I must have swallowed mine.
Yeah, they were called Kids Cuisines. Well, I'll tell you what, Lori, you are wonderful. And I'll real quick here. Like I mentioned, I love the book TV Dinners, and you're probably going to hate me for saying this, but I actually bought the book from our local public library. I paid $50 for it.
Whoa. Wow. Thanks.
And I'm sure you're still waiting for the royalty check for that.
Don't worry. I'm just delighted to hear when somebody enjoys something I wrote. So...
Well, I've enjoyed everything you write. You are so awesome. Well, I'll tell you what, we do appreciate you. And like I say, if I'll be in contact with you, you can hook us up with Timmy. I'll understand if you're like the rest of my relatives. Whenever they see my number pop on their call ID, they have the name not saved under my name. They have it saved. Do not answer this. We love you, Lori. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. That was awesome. Well, hey, I'll tell you what. We had another successful show. We're going to get to have Timmy from Lassie on the show. That's going to be awesome. And I'll tell you what, that was my dad's all-time favorite show, that and Gentle Ben. And I can't wait to talk to him about that. And you're going to be joining me on Tuesday tomorrow night, right?
Yes, yeah, definitely. I look forward
for
to it.
For our No Holds Barred interview. You've actually became a great little stand-in here, and we do love you. And hopefully, you know, this won't be a rare thing. Hopefully you'll be able to continue doing it because we do like you having on with us, you know, like when Scott can't be here. And, you know, when... You know, because the Tuesday show is now cemented with you and Big Swing and myself. So you are now a part of that. So you're ours forever. So you can't leave us. So there you go.
Awesome. I'm forever indebted. I'm so happy to, you know, I'm learning from the Jedi Master himself, you know.
Right. And, you know, and this is true. Everybody thinks this is not true, but it is. I remember when I tried to get a date for prom, right? I actually asked 12 girls out and 13 turned me down. This one girl came up to me and said, "Don't even think about asking me." I'm like, "Oh, okay, no problem." My love life was stale after that.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
I guess nobody. So anyway, next week we got a big show. Check out our Facebook page to find out who's coming up next. Until then, remember, it's not goodbye. It's just good night. Love each other. Care for each other. And we will see you every Monday night on 89.1 Kens FM, 9 p.m., 11 p.m. Central Standard Time. Join us next week. We love you. Stay safe. And be with us next week and check out our Tuesday show.
You think you know me?
On this day, I'm
My mom thinks the 80s were gnarly, so here's another gnarly song from the 80s.
Thanks for listening to 89.1 Ken's FM. We are listener-supported radio, so the programming you hear on our station is funded by our members and these local and area businesses. Remember when you were a kid and your mom made fresh-baked bread and you couldn't wait to get a slice of that homemade goodness? Walking into Breadsmith's of Fargo will give you that same sensation. They offer fresh-baked artisan breads made from scratch every day, baked in a huge Hearth oven. Breadsmith of Fargo is located at 1617 32nd Avenue South in Fargo. They're open 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturdays. And they are also on the web at www.breadsmith.com. You're listening to 89.1 Ken's FM, KNNZ-FM, Holly, Fargo-Moorhead. Independent public radio for Fargo-Moorhead and the Valley. Also on the web at www.kensfm.com.
From Feature Story News in New Delhi, I'm Neha Punia. U.S. President Joe Biden says he thinks that a ceasefire in Gaza is likely days away. This comes amid reports of some progress having been reached in ongoing negotiations between Israel and Hamas in Qatar. This even as an active-duty U.S. airman who set himself on fire outside the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. in an apparent protest against the war in Gaza has died.
The airman has been identified as 25-year-old Aaron Bushnell of San Antonio in Texas. He filmed the protest, yelling "Free Palestine" and collapsed to the ground. In a live stream, he called the Israeli crackdown in Gaza genocide and said that what he was doing was not as extreme as the suffering of the Palestinian people. The Secret Service's Uniform Division extinguished the flames. The Air Force said that he had succumbed to his injuries and passed away on Sunday night. Kate Fisher, Washington.
Nurses in South Korea are being given legal protection to perform some medical procedures to try and ease a crisis caused by a walkout of trainee doctors. More than two-thirds of the country's resident and intern doctors have left their posts to protest the government's plans to increase quotas of trainees to cope with a shortage of doctors. The government is warning of legal action against those who don't get back to work by the end of the month. Patrick Falk is reporting.
Health officials have said that considering the gravity of the situation, that this is their last plea. The situation in hospitals and emergency services is described as being chaotic and dangerous, but you might argue that the government is still giving the protesters quite some leeway. They're telling them that if they do get back to work by the end of the month, then they won't be held responsible for what's happening. They're also telling them that that is where they will be heard most loudly and effectively when they are on the side of the patients. But as you mentioned, they could face suspensions, minimum suspensions of 3 months of their licenses if they don't get back to work by that deadline.
Japan is set to begin a fourth discharge of treated radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean from Wednesday. The owner of the wrecked Fukushima nuclear power plant, TEPCO, has been releasing the water in batches since August last year.
It's set to be the last release of wastewater for the fiscal year and comes as TEPCO confirmed that test results from previous discharges show the water is well within the safety standards it set with the Japanese government. For 17 days, a total of 7,800 tons of wastewater.